last time with looking at verses 1 through 6, and I laid out a little bit of how we'll do this, because you remember that I said if we outlined Proverbs and followed it like we do a Pauline epistle, it would take 18 years to preach through Proverbs, and I don't, as much as I love you and you love me, I don't think we want that commitment together. So we're going, the first part of Proverbs is very much we can work our way through the book, and then there's a big section where we're going to take some topics that are found within the book of Proverbs, and then the last section again is something where we can take big chunks exegetically. So that's sort of how we're going to handle the book, and I think that's probably the best way for us to handle it. So we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. We read the whole chapter last time. Hear God's word. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And here ends the reading of God's holy word. May God bless that to our hearts and to our minds. This evening, we're going to be looking at wisdom's starting points. If you think about starting points, there are several that we have throughout our lives. As moms or teachers of small children begin to teach children how to read, we don't start with Beowulf or with other classics. We start with simple things. We start with the A's, the B's, and the C's. The basic building blocks of reading are letters, simple things. The same is true for math. If you are going to teach children math, you don't start with algebra or trig or something like that. You start with very simple numbers, and you help them to understand 0 through 9 as the basic building blocks of all of math that you'll ever use in your entire life. So reading A's, the ABCs, mathematics 0 through 9. It's true for music as well. All of the building blocks of music are found within your Psalter and very simple musical notations. And it's true for any discipline, for anything that you and I could consider. Those that are wise, or those that know many things, or those that have advanced far in their careers, or those that have maybe niche hobbies and they know all sorts of useless information about a specific thing. All of those ideas and jobs and disciplines, they all begin with simple building blocks. Every one of them. And it's true also for human flourishing in this life and the next. If you and I asked people, say we go and interview people on Lake Eola, and we ask for basic building blocks for human flourishing, and then maybe add this life and the next, we would get a whole variety of answers. But the book of Proverbs, in its introduction, gives us the answer. It tells us that beginning point to human flourishing in this life and in the life to come. If you look at Proverbs 1:7, that's where we see this foundation. That's where we see these basic building blocks. And there Solomon says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So that foundation for all of knowledge and that foundation for all of wisdom, and we could call that categorically, we could say human flourishing falls under those categories of knowledge and wisdom as those doors are opened to everyone. The foundational building block for those is that the Lord would be feared. But notice that he tells us that there are those that despise wisdom and instruction, those that do not have the fear of the Lord. And that's going to be our starting point today. We're going to look at the three sections of this one proverb, and we're going to begin with the despising of wisdom and instruction. The despising of wisdom and instruction. So the word despise, that is an emotional word. So it's a word in some sense that's the opposite of knowledge. It's an emotional word, a word of contempt or someone that is aloof. The word in Hebrew tells us that it's one that has the arrogance of being above instruction, too smart for instruction, too good to hear what others may say, too busy to hear from others in their life. It means to condemn or to hold in contempt or to hate. And in the Word of God, it is the ungodly that despise wisdom. It is a character trait of the ungodly. Psalm 36, verse 1, "An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes." So the first thing that we see within all of the Word of God for those that are called the wicked, they are those that do not fear him. They are those that despise wisdom and knowledge. And again, it's not the imperfections of our lack of fear of God. It's not our shortcomings. If you are in Christ, and if you love the Lord and you seek to obey the Lord, and there's times when you fall and times when you struggle, and there will be times where you do not fear the Lord, that's not what this proverb is talking about. What this proverb is talking about is those that live in that despising of wisdom, those that live within the despising of knowledge, those that put off the fear of God from their lives. It is being, according to David Dixon, destitute of the fear of God altogether that proves a wicked man. There is no fear of God before his eyes. You see, when wisdom and instruction are despised, because they're despised, the one who despises them does not see their value. They scorn the obligation to grow in knowledge and in wisdom. It's being wise in your own eyes rather than seeking to be wise according to the Word of God. And that ought to cause our minds to go back to Romans 1. Romans 1, verses 20 through 22, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So the fear of God is put off. The despising of wisdom is grown in. The despising of knowledge is grown in. And they profess to have their own wisdom, which, according to the Scriptures, is foolish. Human depravity leads to the despising of wisdom. R.C. Sproul once said, I like to replace the term total depravity with my favorite designation, which is radical corruption. Ironically, the word radical has at its root the Latin word for root, which is radix, and it can be translated as root or core. The term radical has to do with something that permeates to the core of a thing, not something tangential or superficial. The Reformed view is that the effects of the fall extend or penetrate to the core of our being. So we open the book of Proverbs. We started with an introduction last week, and now we have this wisdom starting point, and it's like the lighthouse with the giant light warning us that we should be considering this. We should be examining our own hearts, asking where we stand. Do we despise knowledge? Do we despise wisdom? Are we those that the Proverbs are going to open up and expose our hearts? Or are we going to be something else? Deep within our hearts, every one of us have that ability to despise wisdom and knowledge. You see, man seeks autonomy due to his fallen nature. It's a spiritual problem of the natural man where we despise the wisdom of God. And again, this is why the book of Proverbs is so important for us, and really so important for young people, the ones that the original context of the book of Proverbs. Our heart is exposed, and what is at the core? This is the question God would have for us. So the despising of wisdom and instruction, we don't want that. There's something else that we want. We want the opposite of that. And secondly, we're going to look at the beginning of knowledge. If despising instruction and despising wisdom is something that we're to put off or to put away from us, we need to begin somewhere else. And the Proverbs tell us that we begin with knowledge. The word begin means the first and controlling principle, the first things, the starting point of who we are, the first fruits of something, that which is chief or primary. So you consider that. Where does this begin? Where should we begin if we don't want to be listed among those that despise wisdom and despise instruction? We're told that there's this beginning point, this beginning, this first or chief or primary place and a biblical prerequisite for growing in knowledge. Something is required, and that something is the fear of the Lord. We'll come back to the fear of the Lord, but let's meditate a little further on this beginning and this knowledge. The word knowledge is relationship dependent on revelation. Now, what does that mean? It means that we are unable to grow in knowledge without that knowledge coming from outside of ourselves. That knowledge of God and who He is in Creator, and in God and who He is as Redeemer. And both of these things come from outside of us. There's nothing within us that says we can grow in knowledge by looking in. You understand that? You understand how important that is to our society, where really the foundation of almost all of our education is the idea of looking in and finding out who you are from within? And the Word of God says that knowledge is dependent on revelation. We have to look out, both in creation, that's the sciences and the arts and the humanities and all of these things, as well as concerning revelation. That's who we are as Christians, and the Word of God, and who is Jesus Christ. All of these things require us to look outside of ourselves. Knowledge must begin with God and then move towards self. That is essential in the Word of God. It is essential that knowledge must be received. And this knowledge over here, this redemptive knowledge, is received by grace and received in humility. Deuteronomy 4 says, "Keep therefore to do the commandments, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who has God so near unto them as the Lord our God is in all these things that we call upon Him for?" You see, all of the Word of God was put forward as the wisdom of God, and the people of God in the Old Covenant, they're to draw in the Word of God and then to live that out in their application. And God says, when you're living this way, when you're understanding what God's ways are concerning this and concerning this and concerning this, and when you're growing in that, the world is going to look on and the world is going to say, look at that wisdom. Look at the way they apply wisdom. And where's it come from? It's from the Word of God. We must grow first off in our knowledge of God. And again, Proverbs, so many applications to young people. Young people, I would encourage you to know the Bible. Know the Bible in various ways. One way is ask yourself, if I could summarize the story of the Bible in a couple of paragraphs, would I be able to do that? What's the Bible about? And then start thinking through what the books of the Bible are. What are some of the main verses and main components of those books? What is it that they teach? What is God trying to say? And then there's certain parts of the Bible that we should just put in our mind and in our hearts, that we would memorize them. Things like the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer and the Beatitudes and certain Proverbs and portions of the Romans Road. Put all of those things in your mind. Memorize them, that they may come out of you as the wisdom of God. If you do not know the Scriptures, you're not going to have the Scriptures flowing out of you. The nations will not look on and say, look how wise you are. Because again, that knowledge comes from outside of ourselves, not from within ourselves. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given to him." We must know the Word of God. This is where this true knowledge comes from. This is our starting point with knowledge and wisdom as the Proverbs open to us. You might remember those famous lines from the opening of Calvin's Institutes. And for those of you that haven't read Calvin's Institutes, this portion is worth meditating on. The opening lines, Calvin says, "Our wisdom, insofar as it ought to be deemed true and solid wisdom, consists almost entirely of two parts, knowledge of God and of ourselves. But these are connected together by many ties. It's not easy to determine which of the two precedes and gives birth to the other. For in the first place, no man can survey himself without turning his thoughts toward God in whom he lives and moves, because it is perfectly obvious that the endowments which we possess cannot possibly be from ourselves. Nay, that our very being is nothing else than substance in God alone. And in the second place, those blessings which we unceasingly distill to us from heaven are like streams conducting us to the fountain." Where does knowledge begin? Where does wisdom begin? We have to know ourselves. We have to know God. And those two interflow, don't they, as we grow in what the Word of God tells us. This is the beauty of Proverbs. This is the wonder of what is before us, that we must have this knowledge and this desire to begin in knowledge. And again, where does that come from? It comes from, thirdly, what we see as the fear of the Lord. The word fear is an interesting word. We could talk about being scared, fearing God in that way. And I don't want to totally dismiss that idea. We should fear the Lord as one who is a consuming fire. But at the same time, we fear God as one who fears displeasing one that they love. You know, fear is this desire to please and this desire to show love toward. And we should fear the Lord in that way, both in the "our God is a consuming fire," so we bow down with our face to the dust, acknowledging that He is all and that we are His creation. And at the same time, we come before Him wanting to please Him and presenting our gifts before Him, wanting for Him to not be displeased, because we fear, because we love. So the fear of the Lord, it is an openness to Him, an eagerness to please Him, humility to be instructed by Him. It's a willingness to submit to the Word of God, a willingness to submit to what God says. It's a surrender of self as we look to the Lord. It is part of our love for Him, according to Deuteronomy 6. It is part of our love to one another, according to Ephesians 5. We must realize, through the fear of the Lord, something that's so important for all of us. I think that every child wrestles with this idea, and every American wrestles with the idea that we are the measure or the standard of all things. That everything we personally do our wills and our desires and the way we do things, that that's totally right, and it's the standard by which all other things are to be measured. The fear of the Lord breaks that. It smashes that idol, and it reminds us that we are being measured, not that we are the ones doing the measuring. It is the Lord that measures us and weighs us out. The fear of the Lord ought to lead to greater confidence in the Word of God. You should grow in that confidence and grow in your study of the Scriptures and being confident that God has spoken and I can trust the Lord, but also confidence in bringing it to others, saying, here's what the Bible says. Here's what God says. This is God's will for this particular situation. And that's the beauty of Proverbs. Proverbs has, in a sense, an answer for every situation that you may find yourself in life. And it's a starting point for you to bring the Lord to those around you. It causes us, the fear of the Lord, to mature. You see, maturity does not just ask for lists of do's and don'ts. Maturity is growing in wisdom, where we have to weigh out situations and ask ourselves, how would God have us to handle life in this way? It challenges our motivations. It challenges us to love according to the Word of God. C.S. Lewis said one time, "In God you come up against something which is in every way superior to yourself. Unless you know God as that, and therefore know yourself as nothing in comparison, you do not know God at all. As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you." Friends, this is the fear of the Lord. It breaks our pride and it causes us to look to the one who has wisdom. As we look to within, as we saw concerning knowledge, what do we naturally find as we look within? Nothing of value. We look without and we look up and we grow in that fear of the Lord. One pastor said, "It can be extremely painful to learn the fear of the Lord because it's death to our narcissistic egos and self-assured opinions and superior neutrality. We don't change for the better by turning in. We change as we turn outward and upward to the Lord with an awakened sense of reality, His moral beauty, His eternal grandeur, infinitely above us, and yet always relevant to us." Friends, this is the fear of the Lord. God is not to be feared in the sense that we only tremble in His presence. As I said, though, we do tremble in His presence. We fear the Lord because within Him is grace and goodness. Within Him is that ability for us to begin to flourish as humans in this life and in the life to come. So how do we wrap this up? We'll wrap it up in two ways. The first is, again, imagine we're on Lake Eola and we're asking people that we meet to give us that key to human flourishing. Very few will say the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord is our starting point that we may grow in wisdom. And we need to take that home with us, and we need to think through, what does that look like? How do I apply that in my home? How do I apply that in work? How do I apply that in how I manage my time? How do I apply that in my screen time on the phone or on the internet? How do I apply that in my entertainment? How do I apply that in the things that I read or the choices that I make or the way that I drive or the way that I interact with those around me? The fear of the Lord will and does affect all of these things in this life. It is the key to human flourishing in this life and in the life to come. And secondly, as we conclude, I want to think about those times of the year here in Central Florida where all of the shrubs and plants and crepe myrtles need to be trimmed. Or maybe in your area of the city, you had strong winds this week that took down some trees and maybe ruined some umbrellas and tossed some things around in your yard. And as people are cleaning up from either that bizarre 5-minute windstorm or cleaning up their yards, preparing them for summer, as things are cut and as they're bunched, and as they're laid on this curb, waiting to be picked up, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about the leaves that are on those branches. When they go out to the road, they're green, aren't they? And they look as though they are flourishing. They look as though they are full of life. As much life is as the ones that you did not cut down and leave behind. But those branches will sit there. The city will take its time, pretty good with their time, but it may take a week, may take 2 weeks. But as you notice those branches and the leaves that are on them, over that week or that two, those leaves will begin to wither and die. And the reason that they will wither and die is because they are no longer connected to the root. There is no nutrition that is going to them. There's no ability for those branches to flourish. So you might look around the world, and you may find people that you would say are smart. You may find people that you say are wise. But wisdom and knowledge are connected to the truth of God. And if they are disconnected from the Word of God, which is the beginning, which is that starting point for knowledge, and the fear of God, which draws us back to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ, if they are cut off from that truth, they will wither and die because there is no fear of the Lord in them. What is our starting point? How do we flourish in this life and the next? Solomon would tell us that fools despise wisdom and that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of this wisdom and knowledge. Look to him that you too may flourish in this life and in the life to come. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the Proverbs that give us such great instruction. We pray that you would help us to grow in our love for and appreciation of these Proverbs. Help us to see Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing.